I feel a little bit like a visiting preacher here because for decades, Larry Smith has always presented the sermon on the first Sunday of the new year. But this year he's unable to do that, and I know that all of you will be praying for Larry in his recovery. It's just a wonderful day. I appreciate the song service that we've had. One of the songs, Be With Me, Lord, brings back a lot of personal memories. It is the song that Mikey selected at our wedding for the closing song for us to, after the ceremony was over, they sang Be With Us, Lord. And so every time we sing that song, it brings back the memories that are now 66 years plus old. We're glad to have a retired judge from Oklahoma with us and family from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with us. He's retired military and in his retirement works for a good work out of Nashville, Tennessee that the church sponsors. I want to say thank you for the $43,000 you gave in the month of December for missions. I just am always so surprised and thrilled with that. We will have at the close of our service a report by Joe Knox of our finances, which we are always glad to share with the members of the church. I've wondered about what to say on this first Sunday of a new year. I can't think of anything more worthless than a 2024 calendar, can you? I mean, if somebody were to send us a 2024 calendar in a plea for benevolent help, we would probably discard that calendar the first thing. I've been thinking about how that no day in the past can ever be relived, but the consequences of that day in the past lives on. No day in 2024 can be re-experienced, but we and others experience what we may have done on that day in 2024. It's helpful for us to remember that life is an echo. Jesus, teaching this truth, said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Life is an echo. "Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Life is an echo. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to everyone who has not been merciful. James chapter 3 and verse 23. That is true because life is an echo. Bill Nunley has spoken to us, and I have enjoyed talking to him privately about what is the Jesus rule, as he calls it. It's found in Matthew 7 and verse 12. "So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you." Life is an echo. I like the contemporary English version of that, and I want to read it to you. It's very simple. You can remember it, or you can write it down. "Treat others as you want them to treat you." That's a very simplistic way of saying what Jesus is teaching here. Treat others as you would want them to treat you. I thought about talking on all the various resolutions and changes that we may need to make for the new year. But when I got through thinking about it for a while, I thought, well, maybe the best thing to remember is this verse, because it encompasses everything. If you'll simply treat others as you want them to treat you, then probably all the resolutions that you can imagine can be fulfilled. There seems to be a natural law involved in all of this. It's some of our common axioms that we grew up learning. The statement, what goes around comes around, is the statement of that natural law, that life is an echo. Life evens out, we sometimes say to people. If someone has wasted their substance in riotous living, as the prodigal son has, we may say to that person, well, you have to pay the piper. Life is an echo. Many people talk about karma, which is an expression of that same thought. Another way of phrasing this truth that we should remember for this year is the phrase sowing and reaping. The Apostle Paul reminded us of this natural law of sowing and reaping in his writings in Galatians. He says, be not deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give up. That's the idea of sowing and reaping, which is to say, life gives us what we back, what we have given to life. When he was encouraging the church to contribute financially for the poor people of Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I believe that principle to be true. I think it's been true in my life. I hope that you have experienced the same. If we think of life as an echo, then we must think that what we do may benefit others in the future. God said to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. One night this week, I was thinking of all those that were with us last Sunday, and I was thinking of a family, and part of that family is here now. I don't say this to embarrass them, but to say that I thought about this in regard to their family. As you know, Jim Middleton, my friend and now retired minister at the Northwest Church in Houston, son Stephen Middleton and his wife Cindy. Yeah, I got, I'm sorry about that. I had a Biden moment there for. Last Sunday, I got to meet their son and his wife, and I remember his wife's name is Jenny, and your son's name is
Blake.
Blake and Jenny. who are members of the Crosby Church. I thought, what a wonderful heritage. What a wonderful heritage. More than anything that Jim Middleton may have done in the ministry of over 50 years in Houston, nothing can bring the joy, I'm sure, to him as much as the fact that his son and his grandson are faithful members of the church. And so we look at our lives and we want to be a blessing for those who come after us. You reach a point in life in which secular success is not nearly as important as you once thought it was. And what is important is your thought that I hope my life will be a blessing for others after I'm gone, because that truly is what is important. What we do may benefit others in the future. I am the beneficiary of the faithfulness of my paternal grandmother. She set the example of always being at church whenever the church doors were open. She set the example of memorizing the Bible as she went about her housework. She set the example of bringing flowers to church every Sunday out of her garden. And my father inherited a blessing of faith from her, and then I from my father. You will be a blessing. And I think of my grandmother as being a person who has blessed two generations at least because of her faithfulness. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote about Abraham. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Isn't that a great statement about Abraham? I mean, what a remarkable single man this was in history. Not only the Jewish faith, but now if we have the same faith that Abraham has, we are his children as well. What we do may benefit others reminds us of the truth of Timothy's mother and grandmother, who influenced him when he was but a child, so that he became a great minister of the gospel and helper of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul reminisces about that. He said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Isn't that a blessing to leave to others a life of faith? When I think that life is an echo and what we have done will have future consequences, I am also reminded that they may be unintended consequences. We may never have wanted anything to flow as a result of something that we say or something that we do. Nonetheless, life brings those unintended consequences. We do not control the echoes of our conduct sometimes, and that's what makes it so difficult. We do not control those echoes as they are interpreted by the others that live after us. Hosea the prophet said, we have sown the wind and we have reaped the whirlwind, showing the consequences are not always in proportion to what we have done. And Lamentations, the prophet said, our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. The echoes of our lives might not bring a blessing to others, but punishment to others. And Ezekiel the prophet said, our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and their children's teeth are set on edge. Again, a statement that refers to the unintended consequences of our lives. I guess the best that we can do is to realize that what we do today and in this new year may be visited upon us in the future, and it may be a positive visitation. A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. That, again, is the teaching of life as an echo. If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. And another proverb says, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. What we do today and in this year may benefit ourselves at a future time. And I think that's what is our faith, that we do the best that we can. And one reason why we want to treat others as we want to be treated is so that in the future, under a different circumstance, we may receive the same treatment that we have extended to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, we treat people with kindness who have been kind to us in past experiences. He who is kind to the Lord lends to the poor, lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. And another proverb that I leave you with is, a generous man will himself be blessed. The encouragement I make to you this morning at the first sermon for the new year is this: treat others as you want to be treated. And life is an echo, and you will find that the way you have treated others will come back to you, and that you not only will it be a blessing in your life as it echoes back into your life, but you will be a blessing to others as your life is an echo of their experience. I'm going to quit now, and we'll have a song, and then that will give us a little bit of time. We want everyone to stay when Joe Knox gives us a report of the finances of this church. But if you're here this morning and you want to confess your faith in Christ, we encourage you to do that and to be baptized. Or if you have a prayer request, we'd be happy to pray with you and invite you to come to the front while we stand to sing.
Be happy.